Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 17th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing very, very well.
That's awesome. That's very, very well. And John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well.
I am okay for now until I get outside and dig out from about 18 inches of snow.
Oh, I know. It's the most horrible thing, this incredible blizzard that we just had here in Colorado. And you're digging out of 18 inches of snow, and the roads are dry, and there's no indication it even snowed where I am.
Oh, it's too bad this is a G-rated program.
Actually, right now I'm kind of thinking that's for the best. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, weather aside, I thought we could jump in and talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of RDO. And for those of you that don't know, and I'm guessing it's probably quite a few based on what's going on, RDO is, or now was, a streaming music service, and they're going belly up. So they're filing bankruptcy, or have filed bankruptcy, and they are shutting down, and Pandora is going to buy their assets for $75 million. And then Pandora's plan is to launch a new addition to the streaming music service that they currently offer at some point in 2016 that adds in new features. They're not saying what those features are, but the word that did come up in their press release that I think is the very clear clue as to what's happening was the word discovery. And that's not something that Pandora has as a strong suit right now. But
it's not something anyone has as a strong suit.
No, but if you look at the way Pandora's streaming music service works and then compare it to Spotify, they're very different things. Pandora is, to me, more like a kind of a loose version of traditional radio, but online. Because you don't have nearly as much control over what you're listening to compared to something like, say, Spotify or Apple Music. Now, granted, discovery isn't a strong suit for any of these services, but by taking RDO's features and then incorporating them into Pandora, then Pandora becomes more like more like Apple Music, because it would then have the same or similar components to what you see in Apple Music, where we have a radio-ish type service and then a more open, fluid system for listening to other music. And that's the part that Spotify has, a kind of open, more fluid part. So it looks to me like Pandora is trying to position themselves so they can be a true all-in-one streaming music solution, which I think is a smart move.
Yeah, but it isn't going to work in the long run.
Do tell.
Well, I just sense that Apple, being so big and so motivated and so into music, is going to eventually dominate all these services, and then they'll start falling by the wayside one by one, probably Pandora first. Then there'll be a runoff between Apple and Spotify, and then Spotify will wilt under the pressure from Apple, and Apple will come to dominate eventually. Nah. That's my view.
That's a pretty bold prediction.
Yeah.
Okay,
Brian. Yeah.
I'm told I'm wrong. So
I'm sitting back, Brian. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
There will be consolidation, of course, because none of these people make any money, right? I mean, the business model for streaming music at this point doesn't really work. And the reason why it will probably work for Apple is because Apple doesn't really need the money. But, and Apple, of course, can make money from selling devices that support its streaming music service. But while there will be consolidation, and while Apple may even become the biggest player, probably likely to become the biggest player, I don't think this is going to be a situation where Apple dominates per se. I think we're going to have several several competitors in this space. I don't think any one company could ever dominate something like this because people don't want to all do the same thing when it comes to music. People want to be, you know, so there's always going to be some brand that some people are going to want to gravitate towards. And I think that's that even if Apple is one of the biggest players, if not the biggest player in the space, I think that's a far cry from domination.
Well, that'd be the trick, won't it, Ryan? Is that with all of Apple's power and its money and its influence and marketing, for the services to stand up to Apple with some sort of unique aspect or angle that makes them charming, makes them a charming alternative, motivated alternative. That'll be the trick.
Yeah, and to be fair, most of the companies that are currently in the space are going to go out of business or merge or consolidate or sell off like RDO did today. We're definitely going to have some consolidation. But I mean, you know, like look at iTunes. When iTunes came along, it was the only thing for a while. But we actually had other large companies like Amazon and Google Play in particular come out and be bona fide competitors. And that was coming from a standpoint of Apple creating the entire market.
Ah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So and when you have this other market here, streaming music, where Apple and Apple Music are quite frankly playing catch up to the rest of the industry, right? Even if Apple comes to dominate it, or it comes to be the biggest player, I don't think Apple's going to dominate the space. I think it's just going to be a big player.
I'm looking at this market. And yes, I know there's some irony in the comparison I'm about to make. To me, it's a lot like the soda pop market. The irony, for those of you that don't know, I stopped drinking soda pop a long time ago and haven't missed it. So clearly that makes me an expert on soda pop. But you have Coke and you have Pepsi, as an example. Both are big players in the market, and there's room to have both. And I think that's what we're going to see in the streaming music market as well. We will have big players, and there will be room for all of them. I don't think there'll be many when this all shakes out, but it's a very volatile market right now.
Well, we're going to have two to four brands, probably three, that will end up being the dominant players in the space. But it'll be a co-dominance.
Who do you think the three will be, Brian?
Well, as of this moment, I would say Pandora, Spotify, and Apple, but I don't think that's actually going to be the case. I think it's going to end up coming down to Amazon, Google, and Apple, with maybe Pandora and or Spotify as the fourth.
I think you're right on that.
I hadn't thought about Google being a dominant player in this market.
I think Google Play is big on Android, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. And I hadn't taken that into account. So my prediction was going to be Apple, Amazon, and Pandora. But Brian, now with you tossing Google in the mix, I'm thinking you're right.
And you know, Spotify is... of all the people that were in this space before Apple Music came along, Spotify and Pandora were clearly the two strongest.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not sure if either of them can be truly knocked out. They have adherents. I mean, they have, you know, partisan fans. So, you know, the question will be, and don't forget that Apple Music is pushing everyone in the space to try even harder, right? So that's going to yield some results at some point,
right? And those results should translate into better streaming music services for subscribers. Hopefully, I mean, regardless of which service you're using.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So okay, so RDO is down for the count, and now I'm wondering how long Rhapsody is going to be able to continue on as it is. I mean, I have no information that tells me Rhapsody is in any kind of trouble at all, but they're not as big as Pandora or Spotify. So are there days number two?
Probably.
I'm sorry, who's numbered?
Rhapsody.
Yeah, I would say that most of the competitors in this space are going to be going out of business over the next 3 years.
So, okay. Merging,
going out of business, merging, or selling their assets like RDO did.
Okay. Yeah. That sucks for a lot of people. But on the other hand, like I said, we're in a very volatile point in the streaming music market right now. So seeing companies come and go like that is to be expected.
Well, I mean, you know, they all lose money, like, you know, with every customer, and they're trying to make it up in volume. It's
it's an old joke, Brian.
It is an old joke. I think it, absolutely and positively. And it's been a flawed space from the get-go. This is, I think, one reason why Apple felt it needed to do something.
Yes, and Apple's in a position where they can ride this out long term, because even if Apple Music is not making money, there's so much money coming into the company overall, they can absorb that loss and just keep Apple Music going until it does start turning a profit. So, yeah. All right. Well, I feel bad for RDO, but I'm also glad that there's going to be something that comes out of this that's good, hopefully, which is Pandora is going to take some of what RDO did and repurpose it. So RDO will live on in a manner of speaking. And there's more that I want to hit today, but I'm thinking we deserve a little pat on the back. So I have a couple listener comments that I'm just going to toss in here real quick. And one is from Rick Allen, who writes in a lot. Thank you, Rick. I love the feedback. And Brian, I think you'll appreciate this, because he is talking to us about yesterday's show where we discussed privacy and terrorism and government surveillance.
Yeah, it was a light show.
It was a light show, yeah. And what Rick says is, I think your coverage of the whole privacy issue on yesterday's show was amazing. So that's awesome. Thank you, Rick.
That is nice.
And he does have a comment to add with that. And so he goes on to say that he's thought about it a lot, and he has an idea of what Apple might do if forced to implement backdoors. And he thinks that that they would come out saying, we want our customers to be first, and a solution that they could present is just to kill the iMessage service. And I mean, that's pretty drastic, but on the other hand, that would be one way to avoid having to share user information.
There's a lot of other things that are going on with iPhones and iOS that is encrypted. The devices themselves are encrypted.
That's true. So it'll be interesting to see what happens first with all these potential laws, and then assuming so at least some of them get passed, what companies like Apple do to deal with the laws and protecting our privacy. So anyhow, Rick, thank you for the comment, and yeah, that was awesome. And then also, we have a review from the iTunes store, and this is from Alan in Australia. And Alan says, well done, team. The thing I respect the most about this podcast is its authenticity. It is what it is, and I'm drawn to this honest and human account of all things Apple. It's refreshing to listen each day to the team. I marvel at the composure, even with old flintlock pistols raised at 10 paces.
Well, you know, we're not fooling anyone. We love and respect each other.
That's true. Yeah. And Alan, thank you for the comment.
That's hilarious, man. That's great.
It is absolutely awesome. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is the iPad Pro. And so what I'm going at, John, is you have an iPad Pro. You've had one for a few days. I've had an iPad Pro. I've had one for a few days. I think it's time we do a little comparison. And so what I'm looking for are your thoughts, your experiences, and what it is that that you're feeling now after having an iPad Pro for a few days.
Well, the biggest feeling I have is that it's the iPad essence unleashed. Everything we did before on iPad minis and iPad Airs and the predecessors was a shadow. We lived in a shadow world. If only it had better speakers. If only I could read a magazine. If only I had a nice big screen where I could watch a movie and expansive and beautiful. And we all kind of felt like we were crammed into this 9.7-inch world. So I get this iPad and iPad Pro, and I fire up Xenio, and I look at a magazine. It was Aviation Week, and it was just stunning. It was glorious. It was like having a magazine in your hand. It was brilliant. And I watch Netflix and some Amazon Video, and the speakers are excellent. Although I wish there was a McAuley case. Maybe they'll do it. That does these acoustic scoops on the side that directs the sound towards you. But because I found out if I hold the edges and scoop my hands a little bit, the sound sounds even better than it does when it's projected out the side. But it's a big screen. It's fast. It's 802.11ac. It's got 4 gig of RAM. It's got a fast graphics processor. Everything on the screen is stunning and beautiful, and it's everything an iPad should have been all along. I suppose Apple had to develop the technologies of the iPad Air, the thinness and the squeezing the battery in there and waiting for the development of a graphics processor that could drive 2732 by 2048 as fast as it does. But I'm just incredibly pleased with it. It's my favorite iPad of all time. I'm loving it. I have to find a place for it. It's the kind of device which, you know, I said in my article, when you have a regular iPad, say an iPad Air, you just kind of throw it around. You can squeeze it into nooks and crannies. Leave it on the coffee table. But this 12-inch iPad, it's got such a big screen, you need to protect it. And you need to be careful with it when you walk around. You're holding it in your one hand, there's a lot of gravitation torque on the other hand, and you probably want to hold it with two hands, and I'm looking for a better case. And I need some space. It wants to have its own space. It's like a desktop or a MacBook Air. You want to try to find a place on your desktop where you can allocate it. Because it's so big and it tends to want to sit somewhere where it's safe. I'm just in love with it. I think it's great, and I'm so glad Apple did this. Been wanting it for years.
You know, I knew this was the iPad you'd been waiting for all along. So your reaction does not surprise me at all. Now,
also, LOL, because you're like totally personifying your iPad. you're anthropomorphizing it too. You're like, it wants. No, it doesn't.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, for me, what I have found is that I'm really liking the iPad Pro a lot. I really like the big screen. I love the colors. I like the speaker placement. I love the overall performance. And yet, I'm frustrated at the same time because I feel like my iPad Pro is currently hobbled, and that's because I can't get an Apple Pencil. And while I'm enjoying my other styluses on the iPad Pro, I'm thinking that it's going to be a whole new world for me when I finally get the Apple Pencil. And then I'm also finding, for the first time, I want an external keyboard with my iPad. I've never wanted that before.
Yeah, same here.
And the what is the one that's in the stores easily attainable? Is that the Logitech
Create? And I'm going to probably be returning mine. It has a couple of design defects. It looks good at first, but it's hard to snap the iPad in and out. Last night, I was fussing with it for 60 seconds, trying to get just the right finger angle on it and press it and snap it out. And the press through buttons are very stiff, very hard. It requires an enormous amount of finger pressure to change the volume or to press the power button. And I'm not happy about this. And I'm going to have a talk with Logitech.
You're no longer high.
I think there's room for a better keyboard case. It's friendlier.
I agree. And so we'll see what I find. But I'm thinking first, once I get the Apple Pencil, that my iPad Pro experience is going to change dramatically. And then when I find a keyboard that I like using with it, it's going to change yet again. So right now it feels hobbled, but man, I'm really liking this iPad, more so than I expected.
What's up with the Pencil? Why can't an industrial giant like Apple build a $99 pencil and have it ready? Is it that exotic?
It's different from any other stylus, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's not a major effort like building the iPad was.
We're talking about a 2-week delay. I mean, the Apple's logistical accomplishments.
No, it was 20th. It was 2-week delay for those of us that ordered on launch day. Right now, people are looking at 5-week delays.
Yeah, what's up with that? That's crazy. That's got to frustrate a lot of people. We had a theory the other day. I don't know if it's any good, but the theory was that once the Pencil ships, there'll be a whole new discussion and a new life breathed into the iPad. And people will be talking about it again. But I don't buy that. There must have been some sort of serious supply line screw up.
Well, I think people will be talking about the Pencil once they can really get a hold of it. But I don't think this was a calculated move on Apple's part.
I don't think so either. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story.
No, whoever said that. No, that's ridiculous. I didn't realize that's what you were saying. That's completely ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. All right, I'm going to stop going on tilt. I have two questions for you. One, John, I know that you were watching some video content on it.
Oh, yeah. We had a snowstorm, and satellite TV was gone because of the storm and the satellite reception. So I watched Monday Night Football on my iPad with this thing called ESPN Watch. As long as you have a regular cable or satellite account, you can authenticate with the ESPN Watch. And so I watched Monday Night Football on a 12-inch iPad, and it was awesome. Had it in my lap. It was beautiful. Of course, you have to sit through the commercials.
Like an animal, right? But
yeah,
it turns out that the commercials are actually paying for the content, so I'm sure you didn't mind.
ESPN doesn't apparently have the same broad commercial coverage on the internet, so there's a lot of repeated commercials, which is tiresome. But once the football game was running, it was just glorious on the iPad screen. Yeah.
Right. So here's my second question. You both have heard me wax eloquent and perhaps ad nauseum on the way I use my iPad. Now that you have used it, I'm sure you spent at least some time thinking about what would Brian think.
Yes. So not really. I stay up at night.
Tell me what. What would Brian think? Would I actually want one of these things?
I think you want an iPad Air 3. I think that's the right device for you.
All
right. And the reason I say that, even though I love the iPad Pro, and I think you would really enjoy having it, the way you use your iPad, the iPad Air 3, whenever that comes out, is going to be the right choice for you. It's the right size. And you tend to travel around to coffee shops and other places where you're doing your notes and editing for your book, and I think it's just the right size for what you want to do.
Yeah, the iPad is not something you just kind of throw in your backpack and go to the coffee shop with. It's more of a professional level thing. I have given my iPad Air to my wife. She gets the hand-me-downs, and I can't stand to look at the iPad Air anymore. It just seems so constrained and limited.
No, it's just filthy.
It is. It's disgusting. But the iPad Mini I like my iPad Mini 3. It's the iPad Mini 3 does what it's supposed to do at the size it's supposed to be and the portability that it has. And you can like walk around with it, you know, throw it in your man purse, which I admit to having, and it's beautiful. So, but the one in the middle just seems like it doesn't fit anymore.
And I use all three. I have a first generation iPad Mini, and I use that for primarily now. It's more of a ebook reader and a casual web surfing tool.
Perfect.
My iPad Air is a great workhorse that I'm using every single day. And now the iPad Pro is a great workhorse. And I'm trying to figure out where it fits into my overall iPad world. But I haven't stopped using my Air. And I
it wants its own place on your desk. Listen to it. It'll talk to you.
Oh, it already has its own place on my desk. I've moved stuff around so that it can just sit here on the desk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, you're right. No, it doesn't. But apparently, I want it to have a space on the desk.
I love that John is doing this.
I haven't seen John anthropomorphize technology before now.
Because it's so incredibly illogical.
I feel like a Starfleet captain with a just giant window to the world on my lap. It's just amazing.
That's awesome. But if Starfleet heard you anthropomorphizing like that, they'd fire you.
That's right. Hey, we're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. John.
Captain.
John, thank you for being here.
You're today. Very welcome.
It's always great to get your perspective on whatever it is we're talking about. Brian, thank you for being here, and I always love your take on topics as well.
Thanks.
And listeners, thank you for taking the time to write in and let me know what you think. I really appreciate getting your comments, so keep them coming in. And thanks for listening. We're going to see everyone again tomorrow.